Well, certainly you would agree with me that we are constantly making choices in our lives, and all of us, in a way, are decision-making machines. From the moment that we get up from our beds or whenever we stay in our beds, we are already making choices. And as I have been seeing with Laura, she's only 5 months old, almost 5 months old, and she's already making her own decisions in life. And so from a very early age, we begin to make choices. And some decisions we will make and will change us forever. Some decisions we will look back to and say, wow, that is something that changed us forever. And that could be a scary thought. Many of us have done this exercise and ask themselves, well, how is it that I see myself in the next 3 to 5 years? Where do I imagine my life to be in the next, I don't know, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years? And although these kinds of questions can create in us some pressures, it has the potential to make us evaluate our lives and to think a little deeper about the course that we're taking in life. And it has the potential to make us change our course, to do some adjusting. Some of us have also looked back into certain moments, a crossroad moment, that moment of intersection where we are standing and we can know where we have been. We know the path that we have been walking through, and suddenly we are at a crossroad moment where there's different paths that we need to make, and there's these questions of why, how, where, who. And we're thinking, where is God leading me? Where should I go? Should I enter into this new relationship? Should I decide to invest into this new opportunity? Should I cut my expenses down so I can pay for my bills? Should I get a second job? Should I move? Should I start a new professional career? And it is in these crossroad moments where our lives are changed, where our lives are transformed. And we can realize something about God. We can learn something about God in this crossroad moment. And we can also learn something about ourselves, something that we didn't realize before. On my spare time, I try to keep up with the news, and I read The Atlantic or also The New Yorker. And there's different aspects of the newspaper, and I was watching an interview of a CEO, an entrepreneur, a few weeks ago, and it was a very successful person, and she was there with the reporter, and the reporter was asking her, wanting to know about the success of her business and how is it that she became so financially stable. And so he asked her, and she was thinking about it, and she said, well, you know what, two words: good decisions. And the reporter smiled, and he was like, certainly good decisions, but can you tell me more about these decisions? How was it that you were led to these good decisions? And she thought about it, took some seconds of answering, and replied and said one word: experience. And the reporter was growing a little frustrated and said, okay, yeah, certainly it's experience. But what kind of experience had led you to good decisions? Can you tell us more about that? And she looked and she smiled and she took her sweet time and she said two words: bad decisions. In life, we have all made poor decisions, right? I'm gonna make this claim that we've all made poor decisions, and it's something that we all know it, right? But we don't say it out loud enough. But all of us here have made poor decisions, and hopefully these bad decisions were recognized as choices that could have gone better, but that we recognize also that they have led us to grow. And so these poor decisions may have hurt others, they may have hurt ourselves, our families, our friends, but hopefully these decisions that we took in life hopefully has made us more compassionate, more loving, more human, more just in the way that we lead our lives. And certainly that's the hope, that despite these bad and painful decisions, we are able to be in this pattern of growth, that we're able to be in this pattern of developing ourselves into everything that God has dreamed us to be. And so let's think about this sermon series. How I like for you to think about this sermon series, or any type of sermon series that we do here, think about it as advice from a tree. And I don't know if you've seen pictures of this advice from a tree. There's a lot of pictures, a lot of different advice. But think about it like advice from a tree. Be like a tree. Stay grounded. Connect with your roots. Turn over a new leaf. Bend before you break. Enjoy your unique natural beauty and keep growing. That's pretty good advice from a tree. And just like any trees, we see them everywhere, right? But often we forget that they're there. Just like good advices, right? There's good advice, but in the stuff that we're doing every day, right? From home, children, work, the gym maybe, or back to home with the partner, with the family. Just as it is with our daily lives, we sometimes forget good advice. So think about this sermon series as a reminder that God is with us in this crossroad moments of our lives, that God is there in all our decision-making moments, and that we may forget along the way that God is there, just as sometimes or often in our lives, we forget the feeling of our toes in our shoes, right? And as soon as we hear that, we're able to feel our toes. So this sermon series is as a reminder that God is there with us in our crossroad moments, and that God is inviting us so that we can consider God in every crossroad moment that we have, because there is an opportunity for us to be transformed. And this past week, we had a group of people from Crossroads who went to a camp experience, and it was an experience that changed my life. And as it is for pastors, usually in the week we're thinking about sermons, and you know, by the time that we get to Thursday, if there isn't a set idea, we begin to kind of say, okay, God, give me an idea, give me a story, give me an experience that I can share. And so as I was part of this program, this field trip, this VBS experience that Dell organized, there was a testimony shared by a young adult. And she had graduated from high school. She took a year off, and she was using this camping experience as a way to discern what God was wanting for her in the near future. And she shared her testimony with a group of older children. And she was very vulnerable and very transparent in the way that she shared, very friendly as well. And just quickly, she said that she had been facing a crucial moment in her life where she had applied to 19 colleges. She said that she had applied in Wisconsin, in the south of the United States, even Canada. And when she had visited some colleges, when she had researched the colleges online, she didn't really think that she fitted in any of the colleges until she went to one in Milwaukee. And it was something that she felt in her heart, just hearing the stories of people who had graduated from there, just being on campus. And after taking a year off, she felt in her heart, this is the college where God is leading me. And it just took these couple of minutes for her to realize that that was the place where she wanted to be in, and that's a big decision. It's really choosing a place where you are going to be for the next 4 years. That's incredible. That's tough. Choosing a place where you are going to be formed and shaped and molded for 4 years. And that's a crossroad moment. And it led me to think about a crossroad moment of our lives, but also in scripture. There is a lot of examples, but one of them is on Jeremiah 6:16. You know that Pastor Scott and I met a few times as I was preparing to enter and to pastor this beautiful congregation. And so, you know, Scott and I met a few times at M&M's. And in one of the meetings, towards the end of our meeting, he said, "Well, Luis, I gotta give you two things. The first thing is the keys of the church, right?" And I said, "Okay, you know, this is something that I will need." And he said, "The second thing is a bracelet of Crossroads United Methodist Church." And he gave it to me, and we had small talk after that. You know, we just talked about something else. And when I got into the car, I realized that it had 616 in it. And so I began to ask, right? And I learned the story behind the Crossroads bracelet of 616, of the book of 616, of the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, verse 16. And I've worn it since then. And as I was going back to the text, Jeremiah 6:16, "Thus says the Lord, stand at the crossroads and look and ask for the ancient paths where good way lies, and walk in it and find rest for your souls." It's a beautiful and inspiring text that was used for a campaign here at church. And I was reading the text, and I was also reading the rest of the passage and the rest of the story of Jeremiah. And as beautiful as it sounds, as inspiring as it sounds, the rest of the passage, the rest of chapter 6, is not as pretty as the advice that God provides. Why? Because the people of Israel, no surprise there, right? No spoiler. The people of Israel had turned their backs on what God wanted them to do. And so God, as a rising parent, is saying basically enough is enough. And so this is where the advice is coming from. This is where God says, this is the advice for you. But look at the rest of the passage. I'm going to just show two verses here. It says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, cut down her trees, cast up a siege ramp against Jerusalem. This is the city that must be punished. There is nothing but oppression within her. As a well keeps its water fresh, so she keeps fresh her wickedness. Violence and destruction are heard within her. Sickness and wounds are ever before me. Take warning, O Jerusalem, or I shall turn from you in disgust. And I make you a desolation, a uninhabited land." Ay, ay, ay. That's tough. That's tough words. So not only are the people of Israel facing a crossroad moment, but they have everything stacked against them. You don't want to have God against you. And surely they do have God against them. And so Jeremiah tells us this story that God has given them enough opportunities, and that God is providing this advice. But will the people of Israel follow it? And so in the advice, God is saying, stop and look, ask and walk in it. And so as I was thinking and meditating over the text, it sounds easy. The advice, surely it does sound easy. Stop. Well, you can just stop. You can just, in some versions of scripture, it says stand. And so think about that. As easy as that may sound, we lead busy lives. We're constantly going to events, organizing events for family, for the church, for work. And so to just stand
can be more difficult than what we think. To pause in our lives can be a very difficult thing to do. And to look, that may be simple. We use our eyes for everything that we do in our lives, right? For many of us, our sight is so essential because that's what we use to make decisions. But sometimes we don't want to look into certain things that may bring us tension or conflict. There are certain things that we don't want to look. There are certain trauma things that we just don't want to look. Not today. Maybe another day. And so God is saying, stand, pause, and look. Look not just the regular things that you look every day, but look at the things that may be tough to see. That may need a little bit of more energy and more recollection and more work. Ask. How many of us like to ask for directions whenever we're on vacation or whenever we're lost? Just for some of us, it may be hard to recognize, to admit that we are lost. And then it's saying, walk in that good way, right? And for some of us, it's no problem to ask. I can ask, but it's harder for us to actually follow through on the advice. So how I see advice, how we should see advice in Jeremiah is sort of the signs that we see whenever there is some sort of fire. I don't know if you have seen signs like these in buildings or anywhere where it tells you, for example, right, walk. Don't run when there is fire, right? Or keep calm. There is a fire. Who is going to really keep calm if you're in a building that is on fire? I have rarely seen someone, I don't think I've seen anyone, or witness where someone is just walking and there's a fire in the building. Our instinct, our survival mode, you know, switch up and we run. We go into this mode of saving ourselves. And so as we are reading the text from Jeremiah 16, just think about it as that kind of advice. Advice that is good advice, amazing advice, that in theory, wow, if I follow that, I'm gonna be successful. But that in times of tension, in times of conflict, we don't really follow that good advice. Another example that I would like to show is a video of a strategy, of a method for those who kayak and for those of us who have fallen out of the kayak, and it's called a re-enter and roll. And it's a method that whenever you're either in a current or just in a lake and, you know, suddenly you fall, there is a way to be afloat, to go back to how you were before if the kayak has flipped. And so I personally have friends who are experts at kayaking, who are better than me, and they first introduced me to this because there were a few times where I fell and they saw me struggle, and what I did was I took the kayak back to land, or, you know, they helped me to flip it. And there's this video that I want you to see that it's a re-entry roll, and I want you to look at it. And although this person makes it seem like it's easy, it really isn't. And just think about the advice. If your kayak flips, then all you need to do are two things. And the video will show it better than I will explain it, but just very simple. If it flips, keep on the kayak. If it flips, do not get off, stay on the kayak. And the second thing is very simple. Keep paddling. And as easy as that may sound, so in the video, as I was explaining, right, the man is able to flip the kayak by just staying strong and by doing a few set of paddles. And so in our lives, whenever there is a moment of crisis, whenever there is something that is happening in our lives and we're pressured, we are inclined on doing what's easy. And so sometimes in our lives, God is calling us to do what is new, to do what is risky, to do what is silly. And so this advice here, the re-entry role, is like the advice that God is providing in Jeremiah 16. It's hard, it sounds insane to stay on the kayak and to paddle upside down. That goes against our nature, it goes against our survival mode. And in a way, that is like Jeremiah 6:16. What God is suggesting for the people of Israel, what God is suggesting to you, goes contrary to what you are used to, goes contrary, you know, perhaps to your lifestyle, to your habits. And so God, in this crossroad moment of your life, is calling you to do something new, to do something risky, and perhaps it may feel silly, but God is calling us to follow through, to stand at the crossroads, to look at the crossroad, and not look just with our eyes, but to sense. Sometimes you can look at things without sight, just with the way that we are feeling in that moment. And to ask for wisdom, to ask people who God has put in your life around you, and to walk in it, and how hard it can be to walk through the journey. And it says that you will find rest in your souls. And so whatever crossroad moment you've gone through and you're reflecting about, whatever crossroad moment you're facing now, God is there to change our lives. God is there to challenge us to be all who we can be, to dare us, to encourage us, to break certain patterns, certain norms, certain lifestyles that have kept us doing things like we have before, taking the kayak back to the land, which is something that we're used to. But God is encouraging us to try new things, to do the re-entry role, right? God is encouraging us that in this crossroad moment of our lives, for our faith to be deepened in different ways, God is inviting us to be resilient together, that we can lean closer to God, that we can be liberated from the chains that hold us back, that we can be liberated from those things that don't help us to be who God has dreamed us to be, that we can be liberated from these recycled ideas of happiness, of success, that we can find new ways to be successful, new ways of being in community. And so as we began this sermon series, meeting God at a crossroads, that's my invitation to each one of you who is watching this stream, to all of our family here at Crossroads, that in this crossroads moments of your lives, that we can live and depend on God. And so next Sunday we'll be talking about Bartimaeus and Jesus. We'll be talking about this point of intersection between this person that we don't really hear about. His name is Bartimaeus. Who is Bartimaeus? We know about disciples. We know about the big ones, right? Peter and John. But next Sunday we'll be focusing on a crossroad moment for Bartimaeus and for Jesus, and how Bartimaeus' life is transformed, and also Jesus' life is transformed And so what does that mean for them, and what does that mean for me? What does it mean for us also as a community, as Crossroads United Methodist Church? So I invite you to pray with me wherever you are. Wonderful Jesus, you are our Lord, you are our friend. We call you Father, and we also visualize you as our mother, and we're so grateful that you have allowed us to be together. You have allowed us to hear your word, and we just pray for all of us who have been through crossroad moments and who currently are in a crossroad moment or who will be in a crossroad moment, that you can remind us that there are ways that we can live in that crossroad moment closer to you. Help us to be courageous. Help us to be resilient. Help us to try risky and new things that we haven't done before. That is never too late. We can never be too young or too old to try new ways of living our faith in this crossroad moment. God, we are so grateful for everyone who is part of our community, and we just pray that you can help us also to support others who face a crossroad moment, a challenge in their lives, being a divorce or being a death of a loved one or being a new beginning as well, a new diagnosis of a disease. God, whatever crossroad moments our community faces, that we can be the salt and we can be the light, and that we can support others in this crossroad moment, and that we can show who God is. We can proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, of love, of compassion, of justice. All of this we pray in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.